Hi everyone and welcome to There's a Workshop for That. I'm Nathie Revez, your host and the founder of La Workshoppeuse. If you are as passionate as I am in the power of facilitation, you are in the right place. On this podcast, experts in the field join me to share their experiences, insights, and practical tips. So whether you're a seasoned facilitator or simply curious about how well-designed and facilitated workshops can transform teams and organizations, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episode. And if you like what you hear, please give it a 5-star on your podcast app. So now, sit back, relax, and let's dive into today's topic and meet our guest. Let's go. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to introduce today's guest, Tess Cohen, joining us all the way from Denver, Colorado. Tess is the founder of Transformating Gatherings, where her mission is to foster curiosity and community, cultivating a sense of belonging and continuous learning within purpose-driven organizations. A few weeks ago, Tess sent me a thoughtful email saying, "I recently came across There's a Workshop for That and have been binge listening. I so appreciate the tremendous inspiration your conversations provide, and I'd love to join the podcast to discuss the art of the post-workshop debrief, a topic you haven't yet explored." So this was great to receive this email, Tess. And if you also, dear listeners, have a topic you'd like to discuss or think might be interesting to explore further, do like Tess, send me an email at podcast@laworkshoppers.com or drop me a DM on my LinkedIn profile. Because here we are, 14 hours apart, ready to dive into this crucial yet often underestimated aspect of facilitation. Tess, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Nathie. So lovely to be here.
And thank you so much for this email. In fact, I don't receive that much emails from the listeners, so I know they are here.
Wow.
They contact me on LinkedIn, but not by email. So I was very surprised. And it was so great to talk to you last week. We had this conversation. And could you please, like each of my guests, give us a little bit of your background story and how you stepped into facilitation?
Yeah, happy to. Facilitation has very much been a through line of sorts in my entire career. And my entire career has very much been in social impact. So in a wide variety of ways, doing things to make the world a better place, at least in some small way. So let's see here. The first time that I did facilitation was as a Peace Corps volunteer. So the U.S. has a program called Peace Corps where they send folks to volunteer abroad for 2 years. I was sent to very, very, very rural Costa Rica. And there I facilitated all sorts of things, girls empowerment workshops, women's empowerment workshops, art for peace workshop, all sorts of things. So yeah, loved doing that. And then I moved to New York City after Peace Corps, and I always say my favorite job before the work that I get to do now was as a job coach for high school students. And so as part of that job, I got to facilitate, had the joy and privilege of facilitating workshops on how to prepare for interviews, how to write a resume, and then help young people get jobs and internships. So lots of facilitation there. Then I spent several years in corporate social responsibility, working for Gap Inc., the clothing company. And it was there that we did the thing that I've most loved to do, kind of facilitation wise. We had this annual summit where we'd bring together 80 plus partners, nonprofit partners from across the US and Canada, as well as internal business partners. And we'd have this multi-day summit where the intention was to community build and really build continuous learning for everyone who was running this program in their given city. And so, yeah, I loved, loved, loved doing that work. And I will say, as a sneak peek, it was my time at Gap where I really learned the power of debriefing. I hadn't experienced that in nonprofits because we were just so go, go, go and not taking the time to pause and reflect. Then fast forward, I moved from New York City to Denver. It was February 2020, less than optimal job search time. And so kind of got into consulting by happenstance. And it was building my website that I realized my background is more in program management, but actually the through line of what I've most loved to do is gather people with a tremendous amount of intentionality. And so that has been, so I thought, named my company Transformative Gatherings, and it's been, it'll be 2 years in October. So almost, yeah, we just, it's September. In just about 2 years, I am, so my exclusive focus is on helping folks gather better and the experience design space, which has been honestly a newer word for me. I'm curious if that's a word that you often use with folks or you've heard around town. Experience design and then facilitation. And so things like retreats and offsites and conferences. And I just love helping people gather better because I think there's just always, always, always opportunity for continuous improvement.
And is the book The Art of Gathering one of your favorite book?
I mean, how could it not be? Have it right here. I'm, for the listeners, I am holding it up because I have it right in front of my, kind of under my computer. Her and Priya Parker and Adrienne Marie Brown, who's written Emergent Strategies as well as Holding Change, where she talks about how to bring emergent strategies to a facilitation context. Yeah, Priya is, she's my girl. She doesn't know me, but I love her and I do everything she says. Though I don't think she talks about debriefing a lot. So maybe I could, my mom, Nati, has been telling me for years that I need to reach out to her to work with her. And I'm like, I don't really know what I could bring to her work besides saying, I do everything you do and it's amazing. And my gatherings are transformative because of her work. And maybe this is my in. It's through debriefing.
I don't know how, but we should send her the podcast because I would love, 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 love to have her as my guest on the podcast. It's also one of my favorite book, one of the first book I read about facilitation. So tell me, why did you reach out because of this topic? You told me this is one of the most underestimated aspects of a facilitator's work.
Yeah,
I absolutely agree your point. I always tell in a facilitator job, there are three phases which are very, very important. The prep phase, and the prep phase is about first the prep with the customer, then the prep of designing your workshop. Then there is the second phase, the facilitation phase, where you are in the workshop, you have to take care, you have to adapt. But there is also the after the workshop phase. And today I'm super happy we are talking about this because I know the impact it can have to do it right. So why did you reach out to me because of this topic particularly?
Yeah, I love your thinking about it in three. I have five steps that I think of when it comes to it in crafting impactful gatherings. And so if you'll indulge me, step one is clarifying the why. Again, very Priya, right? Really starting with purpose, starting with need. The second part two is crafting a really intentional agenda, acknowledging different learning styles, different processing styles. The third is sprinkling in special ingredients like group agreements and pop-up rules, also Priya. The fourth is facilitating engaging content. And then the fifth is that debrief to capture insights. And I mentioned this earlier, but I had spent so much time in the nonprofit world where, you know, we're just maxed out as a sector. And it was very revelatory when I came to my corporate team at Gap, when my boss, who was to this day one of the best bosses I've ever had, shout out to Addie Frost. If she ever listens to this, I will send it to her now. Probably would have sent it to her anyway. And
hello.
Yes, she's amazing. She's awesome. And she was the one who really taught me that it is okay, and not only okay, really imperative to take time to get really clear on whether it's a gathering, whether it's a program cycle. You know, you can adapt it to anything, but for our purposes, and I love talking about it as it relates to gatherings, if we don't take the time to get really clear on what went well and what are the areas of opportunity, that's the key, that's the unlock for continuous improvement. And especially, I believe a lot of your listeners are similar to me and similar to you, where we are consultants for companies. We're coming in to facilitate workshops, to facilitate retreats. And I know we're going to get into talking about the opportunity for kind of from a biz dev perspective, that when we engage in that when we engage in the debrief process, that could unlock opportunities for more engagement with that particular client. But taking a step back further, it's also just for us as practitioners, right? That I'm not going to say I do it every single time, but I would say a solid 9 times out of 10, even when it's just me speaking at a conference or me doing a creative mornings workshop, I will take the time afterwards. I have a little running doc where I will say, just take 5 minutes to say, what it worked really well in that gathering, and what were the areas of opportunity? And then to take it a step further, when I have a workshop that's all about meeting magic and going through those 5 steps, and when I ask people, I say, okay, raise your hand if you debrief, if you most of the time conduct debriefs. And usually it's like, depending on the setting, it's like between 50 to 70% that raise their hands. Like, okay, amazing, gold star. Then I say, okay, now raise your hand if when you're doing a similar kind of gathering, doesn't have to be exactly the same, but let's call it like, take your team retreat. How many of you return to the debrief at the very start of the planning process? And it's like maybe a hand or two. And it just drives me bonkers, because that's the magic of the debrief, is to actually use it, not to conduct it for conducting its sake for an exercise. It's actually using it to guide continuous improvement.
Yes, exactly. You should always record somewhere or save somewhere all the process you did in a workshop, so that if you repeat your workshop, that you have some ideas, even if you are not doing exactly the same, but that you have all your workshop somewhere in a folder. So I think exactly if you make a clear debrief with the customer and for yourself, what should have done maybe differently, then the next time you can remember, because in a year from now you won't remember if you don't have notes.
Oh my goodness, I take a lot of notes on all the things, and right, it's just impossible to remember. Versus I always tell clients, because I have a whole debrief doc that I use to guide the post-gathering reflection as well as the actual debrief meeting itself, and I always send it to them before, and then I say, be sure to jot down these thoughts when they're the day or two after, when they're the most fresh, because it's only going to recede into the background when you get into all the other work things that you're doing. So, and I always have to send a reminder to be like, hello, we're meeting in 2 days. Friendly reminder to please jot some things down. And it really helps to guide a meaty debrief conversation.
Yeah. When you talk about feedback and debrief, so I know that a few of us use the fact that they are doing a first feedback at the end of the session. Mm-hmm. So this is one thing. But when we are talking about debrief with the customer, is it the only way to debrief, or do you have some later conversation with your customer?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really good distinction. First of all, so I just kind of want to underline what you said about getting feedback from the participants, I think is so important, right? Because I have my own opinions about how something went. And I've been doing this work for going on 20 years now. So I have a very solid sense. And it happens all the time where someone says something and it's just like a blind spot, right? Like an example. One time, I have a workshop called Nurturing Your Inner Rested Leader. And all of my workshops always flow between kind of me introducing a concept, time for solo reflection, written usually, small group shares, large group shares, and then action planning. And in this workshop, when I do the solo reflection piece, I like to play music. And I forget who was this? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I was going to a concert that weekend, so I was playing, the music from them. And it's a very like chill kind of music, but it has words. And so in the deeper, I just ask people on a little sticky note, very lo-fi, to say, give me a, and this was an in-person one, but you could also super easily do it virtually, right? You could just drop it in the chat and do a little love and delta. So love what you love, delta what you change. And so somebody said, oh, I really wish that you played music without words. And it was like, oh my goodness. Duh, yes. And so now I like never ever play music with words when I'm doing having space for the solo reflection. So I think it's really important to have that getting participant feedback because you're going to get things that you never would have expected. And then it's doing the work with the client, having that conversation, which I'm so happy, get really nerdy about templates. I have like a bajillion templates for my business about email, kind of the funnel and, when I end a client engagement, asking for referrals, et cetera. And I have a template for the debriefing itself. So happy to dive into specific questions to get into brass tacks. And I believe what you were asking was then kind of like, what comes next? Like, is there then an opportunity to check back in 3 months, 6 months later to say, okay, we did this retreat, we did a debrief. How are things going now? Like, what is more, how do you measure long-term impact? How do you check in also to say, y'all said you were going to work on XYZ thing. How is that going? I will say quite candidly, Nati, that is an area of opportunity for me as a business owner, for sure. I definitely reach back out to clients. And it's like, I, even as I'm, as we're having this conversation, it is something I should just add into my process of like, I worked with a client recently on their, it was a local university for their, it was, I kind of somewhat fortuitously got connected to the dean of one of the schools. And I, my friends call me the queen of the follow-up. So I just followed up and I followed up and he kind of like brushed me off a little bit, but in a like, not right now. And so finally, then he was doing his chair retreat. So chair of the psych department, chair of the math department. So I facilitate, we work together and we created something really beautiful and intentional. And then we facilitated it. I facilitated it and it was excellent. And I 100% should be reaching out to him the same timeframe that we started planning this year, next year to say, Doc, do you want to partner in this again? Because I listened at a podcast, maybe it was yours. I can't honestly can't remember because I listened to a lot, where somebody said the most underutilized aspect of the sales funnel is loyalty, existing customers, right? Because we they already know us, they already know our work, we already know them, we know the different dynamics, we know all these things. And what a missed opportunity to not get to collaborate again. You know, it's like, it's a win-win all around. So, yeah, I need to make a note to add this into my process.
Yeah, it's always like when you are facilitating the kickstart of a project, for example, and when you are facilitating the kickstart of a project which will be lasting for a few years, you can be sure, even if the customer don't think about this at first, that they will need some retrospective. So when I do this, I always put in my calendar, reaching out to the client in 6 months to prepare the retrospective that might be interesting for the project in 12 months. You know? So these are
So
things.
smart, very strategic.
But coming back to your super template.
Yes.
I would love to have it first.
Yes. So happy
this is
to
my
share.
Part.
Happy to share with listeners if there's a way of maybe adding in the show notes or something. Yeah, I'm so.
Yeah.
So
this
down.
Is a great thing. So maybe the debrief template, we could put it in the show notes. And I would just ask, what are some key questions facilitators should ask to the contractor, then the feedback with the contractor as debrief? How do you start? You have a process, I think, or you go through your template.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Yeah. So the first piece is immediately after getting that kind of quick within the first day or two, or within the first week, let's say realistically, having folks reflect on thinking about from a preparation phase. I like to think of kind of the main buckets as preparation, then day of content, and then day of logistics, right? Because the content and logistics are very different, right? Mm-hmm. Of how'd the food go? How'd the space go? Oh my goodness. That, as an aside, that retreat with the university, they're not going to listen to this. So I think it's fine for me to share, or it seems unlikely. And I gave them this feedback. We hosted it at a local bar here in Denver, and the space had high tops and then low tops, and there wasn't enough space for everybody to be at the low tops. And I just think so much about every single decision we make, whether we're conscious of it or not, as a facilitator, is a decision towards group cohesion or not. And having some people low and some people high just was like, whoa, gave me all the icks. When I said, if we do this again, we're not hosting it there, or we're going to make sure that everybody's at the same level, right? Because even though it's just physical, it kind of does like a metaphorical telegraphing. Is that maybe the right word?
Yeah.
Anywho, so that would be a day of logistics versus, oh, this activity went over really well, or this one didn't, and here's why, and here's what we need to do differently. So yeah, preparation, day of content, day of logistics. And then either kind of more simple one is to have the what worked well, and then what would be even better next time. The other kind of framework, quote, you know, it's maybe a strong word, but is doing a start, stop, continue.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that gathering, what worked so well that we're going to, as my aforementioned boss, Abby, would say, we're going to wash, rinse, repeat next time. Like, done. We did it. It's great. So we're going to do it exactly the same way. What do we want to continue? What didn't go over so well that we're going to stop doing? And then what's something we want to start doing? And I really like to think of facilitation as being in the experimentation. So what mm-hmm. is something you want to experiment with? Like, for to go back to that example of the music, like, I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to stop playing music with lyrics when people are engaging in solo reflection. And I'm going to start finding some music. And I'm happy to share my go-to as another thing, if that's helpful. So that's the first part. So that's the reflection. And then would you like me to go into the actual how I run the debrief meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So for the debrief meeting itself, I like to start by doing a round robin share out where everybody shares their proudest moment from the gathering. So mm-hmm. just a real like rah, rah kind of thing. And I just think it's really beautiful. We spend so much time creating these gatherings, right? So let's take a minute to kind of give ourselves a little pat on the back. And so we do a round robin there. Then I, as is probably not a surprise to you, Nati, I mentioned earlier, I'm a very external processor, but I really understand that not everybody is. And so I then give people a minute or two to jot down, what was your biggest learning from this gathering? So everybody has a little bit of quiet time to think about it and then share out from there. Then we go through the reflections of that, what went well, even better if, and kind of have an opportunity to share what stood out. What is anything that warrants discussion? Is there anything missing that we want to make sure that we have captured? And this is also the time to incorporate anything that's from the participant feedback that we want to make sure is captured on that reflection dump. So that again, when we're going back and we're doing, like I just worked with a client on they're a nonprofit for first generation college students, and they just hosted their first graduation not like the college graduation, but kind of their program graduation. And they've been running for 4 years, but obviously it's been mostly COVID. And so this was their first time bringing a ton of state students, families, schools, other collaborators together for a really big celebration. And it went amazingly well. And certainly had a lot of things where I'm like, we could have done this differently. We could have done that. Sometimes it's a little bit of a balance, Dati, where sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be discouraging. I just think it just is a core belief of mine that there's always opportunity to gather better. So have all of that captured, and then important to get the participant experience. If, you know, we did not do a survey, because it feels like kind of weird, like graduation survey, whatever. So we did not do that. But if you do, then that would be the time to make sure that that's captured in your reflection doc. And then the last piece, actually, sorry, two more pieces. Kind of last, oh man, as I'm looking at this, I'm realizing Priya says to never start or end with logistics. So I'm realizing I should switch the order here, because the last piece I didn't do is just to confirm any next steps. But maybe because of this, I'm going to swap that order of, you know, do we need to go back and have any one-on-one meetings, et cetera? What are the kind of actionable next steps that we want to make sure we have captured? And then the last thing is team shout outs. And this is actually also came from my team when I was at Gap, different colleague named Esther, and who was very big into celebration. I really learned a lot from her in that. And so just a space to give shout outs to people,
mm-hmm.
You know, thanks to so-and-so for taking the lead on XYZ. And it's just a really beautiful way to close out and provide recognition for the people, even the people that are in the room that are on kind of the quote unquote planning committee, or people they might not even be in the room, but, and then hopefully it'll be a next step that they'll share that gratitude back with them.
And it means that this debrief, it's like a kind of little workshop that you do with your customer afterwards.
Yeah,
right?
Very much so. Very much so.
Nice. And who is present in this debrief? The contractor, but also the organizers and our co-facilitators, I guess.
Yeah, it really depends on the kind of gathering, right? So for example, with that graduation, that was a very small team. I think their team mm-hmm. was maybe 10, and there were 5 people on that graduating planning committee. So that was who attended. The chair retreat that I was mentioning earlier, that one, I tried to get everybody together, like the dean and then the 2 people I planned with, and it just was too tricky. So I ended up having separate conversations. So yeah, it kind of really depends on the context of who I usually kind of typically when I'm working with on a client gathering, there's usually 1 or 2 people who tend to be, I would call them kind of my main liaisons, where we're meeting for anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks on average, leading up to a gathering to engage in this really intentional co-design process. And so 100% those people need to be there. And then it just depends on like maybe the executive director, CEO or whoever, or COO could be there too. I would just ask your client, like, who else do you want to be here as part of this?
I can't wait to have the template. It's good for me.
Yeah.
Because this is something I teach. So I'm always very interested to see how another person prepare, because I'm learning also so much from the others.
Yeah.
So, thank you so, so much that you reach out to me, that you gave us so much insights, and people can contact you via LinkedIn.
Yeah,
right?
LinkedIn is great. LinkedIn's awesome. My name on LinkedIn is Tessandra. That's my full name, Tessandra. And then Tess, because everybody calls me Tess. And my last name is Cohen, Cohen. So, yeah.
And I will put all the links in the show notes. And whoever want to get the template, you will find it also in the show notes.
Amazing.
You so much, Tess. Thank you.
Yeah.
And have a great day, because it's the morning for you. So
yes.
Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, before I wrap up, I have a few exciting announcements. First off, this is our 60th episode. I realized it as I was editing and it hit me. 60 episodes. Even amazing, 800 of you are tuning in every month from across the world. The US, South America, Europe, Africa, and Asia. Imagine all of us together in one room. To make that vision a bit more real, I'm planning a meet and greet in December. If you'd like to join and put faces to the voices, drop me a DM on LinkedIn with the message podcast gathering or fill out the form, hey Nati, in the show notes. I'd really love to meet you. Secondly, I'm very happy that there's a workshop for that is part of Session Lab's State of Facilitation Survey. It's a fantastic resource for facilitators. You will get so much by filling in that survey, and it's your chance to share insights and support the podcast. The survey closes this week, so don't miss it. Link is in the show notes. Lastly, the fantastic Butter team is launching the brand new tool called Scenes, and they are hosting a 24-hour workshops festival on November 7 and 8. They've lined up fantastic speakers. There is Brittany Barrering, Rachel Davies, my friend Said Saduk, and you can join any sessions that pique your interest. It's all free. My session, Fail or Nail Your Facilitation Business, is on the 7th at 10 o'clock German time, and I'd love to see you there. Find all the links in the show notes to register, and see you very soon. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't hesitate to contact our guest. You'll find all the information in the show notes. And hey, if you like the content of There's a Workshop for That, please give it a 5 stars on your podcast app. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, La Workshoppeuse. Also, I'd love to read your comments, suggestions of guests, or any question you have. For this, use the form called Hey Nati in the show notes. And until our next episode, I wish you good health, success, and lots of happiness. Au revoir!